Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's the Five Times podcast with me, Neil Mellor, in Ellie's in Grigsby. A reminder to check out the Five Times website or indeed on Twitter at Five Times for all the latest news and events going on, maybe to book or see a former player. It's been a great week for Liverpool with victories against Chelsea and Derby. We have on the podcast for you former Red John Arnautis is still playing. He talks about the left-back position. Ray Houghton, part of one of the most flamboyant Liverpool sides in history. His take on the current side. A great week for the academy as well, with another player making his debut. We hear from former Liverpool youth coach Hugh McCauley. Special guest this week, he needs no introduction. We speak to Jamie Carragher shortly. And to finish the podcast off, we hear from former Hull captain Ian Ashby, who tells us what to expect when Hull turn up at Anfield this weekend.
October 6th, Cardiff, Fowler, Haman, McAteer. October 7th, Fowler, Haman, McAteer. York, October 13th, Rush and Fowler. Birmingham, October 13th, Barnes, Garcia, McAteer. Glasgow, October 14th, Barnes, Garcia, Aldridge. And brand new, the story of the treble season. With McAllister, Smyser and Fowler, it's in London on December 8th.
A huge welcome to the Five Times podcast to a man we see regularly on Sky Sports now, and we'll never forget how great he was in a Liverpool shirt. I'm delighted to say, joining us, our special guest, Jamie Carragher. Carra, you there?
Yeah, you're okay, Mels?
I'm okay, how are you?
Yeah, all good.
Good. Carra, it's been a decent start from Liverpool with some impressive performances and results. What's impressed you about Liverpool this season?
Well, I think at the start of the season, I think when Jurgen Klopp had made his signings, the club had done the business, there was still a lot of people maybe slightly disappointed in what we'd done. Mm. That certain areas hadn't been fulfilled. But Jurgen Klopp was totally the opposite of that and completely backed this team. Was very positive about them, maybe as you'd expect from a manager. But he was the one, especially after the Burnley game as well, when a lot of people, myself included, were very sort of downbeat about maybe the chances going forward and how good the squad and the team looked to challenge for the title or challenge for the top four. And he sort of really believed in it. And at this early stage, look, he's been proven right in terms of the opposition that we've played, the tough games that we've had. We've only had one game at home. So at this moment, I think it's been a fantastic start. You just imagine that, Jurgen Klopp and what he's been saying in the press, he's actually feeding that to the players and giving that belief of how good they are, and they're going onto the pitch and showing it.
Mm. Looking at the result last weekend against Chelsea, you were there on the Friday night sofa with a few of your mates, and excellent victory. How much did you think we deserved it?
Oh, we thoroughly deserved it. I don't think we've been fortunate in, I can't think of any game this season that we've won in the league. I think we were unfortunate in the Tottenham game. I think we should have won that game. Mm-hmm. I think Burnley was the one where we didn't perform. Burnley deserved to win. But I think all the other games that we've played, I think there's no one can come off the pitch and say we've been lucky and fortunate. We've sneaked one. I think we've thoroughly outplayed the teams that we've played at tough venues, obviously most of them away from home. And Chelsea was no different. And straight from the start, first whistle, we looked completely on top in their backyard. And I think Chelsea had a 10-15 minute spell when they got the goal just after half time, when you thought maybe they get back into the game, as that's been a problem for us at Arsenal and Tottenham, conceding late goals, and they'd come back. But no, the lads held out, and another deserved victory.
I mean, some of the stuff they played this season, it's been entertaining, it's been exciting to watch. What do you think some of the main strengths are with this current Liverpool side?
Well, there's no doubt about it. I think we're devastating on the counter-attack. I think Mane's certainly helped that. I think there was signs of that last season in terms of how difficult Liverpool are to play against when the opposition have the ball. We win it back and we go very quickly. I think you can see that in the first two goals, especially in the Leicester game, how quickly we go from back to front, but with quality football. I think reminiscent of the signs we saw Jurgen Klopp producer in Borussia Dortmund, and that's what they were about, playing fast football, but quality football, penetrating. And I think we're as good as anyone in the league at that. I think still remains to be answered is the wouldn't say so much problems at the back. I think Matip has come in and done really well. He's been fantastic. He's now got the question mark about the goalkeeper, whether Carrigas comes in at some stage. I'm sure he will at some stage. That's, I think, why he's bought him. And I wouldn't imagine it to be this weekend. But I still think we can improve there. I don't think we've, maybe if I'm wrong, but I don't think we've kept a clean sheet yet in the league.
No.
And that's something that'll have to change going forward if we want to, you know, continue that the run that we're on.
Well, before I ask you about that defensive situation, how many takes did it take for you to beat Marnie on that race?
Well, it could only take one take because I haven't been done it after one race against them. But no, he was good. He was a good sport. I think everyone seems to have taken to him, Marnie, the way he plays and the way he plays with a smile on his face and the energy he puts into games. He's certainly like that off the pitch as well. And it was great. I think it went down well. And he seems like a really good character, really humble. Down to earth type of lad, and that's exactly what you wanted of
him. I'm not even going to mention that finish where you put it in the stanch, but anyway, let's move on to defensively. I mean, you mentioned that already about no clean sheet. You know, we've been devastating going forward, but how much of a concern will it be that we haven't had a clean sheet so far?
Well, it's a slight concern. You've also got to take into account the opposition. We're playing top quality opposition for almost every game that we've played in the league, the real top end, so it's very difficult to keep clean sheets when you're talking about coming up against the, you know, some of the best attacking players in the league. I think for the majority of the game of Tottenham and Chelsea, we actually defended very well. It was just one chance and he seemed to score. It wasn't that, you know, the goalkeeper, Mignolet, was pulling off all kinds of saves. So we're actually, as a team, I think we are defending well, but it just seems that when the opposition get a chance, they seem to be putting it away. I mean, Arsenal was slightly different. They got the three goals. But no, I'm sure with time, you know, Matip and Lovren maybe going forward as a partnership, I think it'll be a lot better. And the more this team plays together, there's still new players integrating into the team. Milner's still getting used to playing left back as well. So I think there are signs that it's improving defensively. It's just nice, as I know, playing in there to keep that clean sheet. Because that's like, as you say, like you getting goals, isn't it? That's what you want to do.
Yeah, but you mentioned there about partnerships. We're seeing that Matip and Lovren are doing very well at the moment. How important is that? As a former centre-half, to get a partnership there?
It's massive. You can build on that. I mean, I always remember something Ronnie Moran used to say when I first joined. He said, you know, if your two centre-backs play well, no matter how everyone else plays, you've got a chance of winning a game. And I think he's right. If your two centre-backs build a partnership, don't get too many injuries, can play week in, week out, you can build from that. It's something to you know, build your back four on, maybe getting clean sheets, and then at times, as we know, when we play, you need a, you know, Fernando Torres, a Michael Owen, Robbie Fowler, whoever it may be, they can nick you a goal and you can win games. Because how well Liverpool have started the season, it's impossible to continue in that vein of form. You can't play like that every week. They've been in fantastic form, but there's going to be times when they need to play poorly and win and nick games 1-0. And as I said, a lot of that comes from your centre-backs.
Well, look, talking about centre-halves, a man, Sacco, hasn't featured this season. What's he got to do to get back into Jürgen's plans?
Who is that, sorry?
Sacco. What's he got to do to get back in the manager's plans?
Behave himself, by the sounds of it.
Get a watch.
I don't know what's going on. I think it's been more off the pitch than actually on the pitch, really, because I think he did okay second half of last season with Jürgen. I'm sure the manager wasn't happy about the situation towards the end of last season where, you know, him and Lovren were making a great partnership and he ends up missing out on the Europa League final. But he's come back and obviously things have gone on. But, I mean, I think it might be difficult for him to come back, to be honest. There was talk of him going on loan, whether that was with a view to moving him on or in terms of what the manager said fitness-wise, who knows? I think we'll probably find out a bit more maybe around January time if he does look to move Sacco on or he does integrate him back into the team, because it's okay saying getting his fitness back, but where's he going to play? When's he going to get that fitness back?
Yeah, I just wonder about the 23s. Would he have a game there? Seeing Lucas have a game there, get himself back involved?
Yeah, but I just don't know how he comes into the sort of first team. Of course, he can play in the reserves and those type of games, give you a bit of fitness, but I don't think he's really going to come in now and take sort of the two centre-backs places we're playing now, maybe even Clavan. You look at the Carling Cup game, you've now got Spurs, which is a huge game against top opposition. So, you know, it seems like he missed his chance maybe in the first two rounds of the Cup, really, against maybe lesser opposition where you can sort of bed yourself in.
I wanted to ask you about the left-back role. Moreno started the season there. You've been vocal about your assessment with him, but I'm looking at Milner, who's filled that position. You've played there yourself as a right-footed player in left foot, but how difficult is it to adjust and be in that role when you're right-footed?
I made it look easy, didn't I?
Yeah, but how tough is it? I mean, Milner hasn't played there before and he's doing extremely well.
Yeah, I think he's done very well. I think at times he's played right-back in his career, not a lot. It is difficult at times when you find yourself in a situation where you're on your left foot, not your strongest foot. But you've got to be clever enough, and I think he's experienced enough, James Milner, to put yourselves in positions where you don't have to use your left foot. Maybe you go even wider than normal to receive the ball, so you have to go inside on your right foot. I think the way Liverpool play, there's not normally a player outside them, Coutinho or Firmino, whoever it may be, on that. Those players tucked in. So it's nice there sometimes maybe to feed balls, you cut inside on your right foot and you can find them between the lines. He's not really having to get the ball on his left foot, open up and fire it out to a wide player because there's not normally anyone there. He normally is near the wide player. I think in difficult games it's maybe easier because you probably possession's 50-50. I think the Burnley one was a problem for him when he had a lot of the ball, finding himself in left wing positions because of how wide players like to tuck in so much, and then it is a problem because you keep cutting in on your right foot. It's difficult for strikers to make runs off that, and that is the one problem. And maybe there's a run of games now after the fixtures we've had that were very tough that may be easier on paper, where Liverpool will have a lot more possession. Milner will find himself more in left wing positions than left back positions, so that may be something to look for going forward.
Yeah, looking at the result against Derby in the League Cup midweek, it was a comfortable win. Thought the performance was excellent. 7 changes. Klopp said he wants to win the competition. How important a competition do you think it is for Liverpool?
It's very important. I think it's more important than you don't have Europe. And then there's only 2 cup competitions to go for. Liverpool very rarely will play midweek games now because of that situation in Europe. So there's no excuse not to really go full strength at times because our players on the back of last year and when you play for a big club, you're used to playing 3 games a week. So to do that every 2 or 3 weeks, I don't think is a problem. So I expect Liverpool to have a right go at the competition. And the draw's a tough draw, but it could have been a lot worse. Playing away from home at one of the top 3 or 4 teams who were left in it would have been more difficult. You're playing Tottenham, the game has to be finished on the night. So a bit extra time, you're playing at home. And with Tottenham being in Europe, I don't think they could probably go as strong with their with their 11 and Liverpool can, so I fully expect us still to get through.
Moving on to Hull this weekend then, what sort of game are you expecting at Anfield?
Well, it's a game I expect Liverpool to win. I think it's a game we had problems with at times over the last couple of years. Teams we were expected to beat at Anfield, I still think that's a question mark against us. I think the performance against Leicester was outstanding. I was there with the new stand and it was sort of a great day. But you know that sort of, it's not going to be there every week, that sort of feeling of on the new stand, and I know Jürgen's still asking for great atmospheres, and he's right. And you think the extra 8,500 will maybe suck a few more goals than that we've had in the last couple of seasons. But up to the players on the pitch to perform the same, perform the way that they're doing. And I fully expect Liverpool, if they match the exploits they've had in the last few weeks, they'll come out comfortable winners.
You were at the Burnley game. It was obviously a disappointing result, below par performance. But since then, things have turned up. Do you think they can learn from that sort of performance, knowing that that sort of thing can't happen again if we are to want to go and achieve a really successful season?
Yeah, I mean, you know that straight after the game doesn't mean that's not going to happen again. I think very important in those games is we always think of offensively what we're going to do to this team, and we need to get a goal, we need to open them up. Sometimes you need to think the other way, and I think sometimes think, well, okay, make sure they don't score, because when a team like that scores, they have so many men behind the ball, it's very, very difficult then to get back into the game, as we saw at Burnley. Sometimes it's about not making mistakes, be patient and wait for your chance. And sometimes, as we know, in the second half, the game opens up when a team are tight, very defensive. First half, it's very difficult to find any space anywhere on the pitch. They're getting behind them, between the lines, wherever it may be. I think it's important to be very patient in the games and make sure you don't make mistakes yourself.
You were always a leader, vocal on the pitch. What have you made of Jordan Henderson as the skipper?
Well, to be honest, I mean, I know Jordan gets a little bit of criticism and a lot of it's thrown about him being captain. But when he was made captain, I think 2 or 3 years old, there was no one else. He had to be the captain, and rightly so. There's no one else in the squad now I look at and think should take the armband off Jordan Henderson. I think he didn't have his best season last season, but he wasn't fully fit. No. I think the year before, I think he did very well. He was one of our best players. I think the year before that, when we almost won the title, he was very, very important in the side going so close. So I think this season, I think we'll start seeing sort of more of what we've expected of Henderson of the couple of years before rather than last year when he wasn't fit. And the injury he had last season, I had that towards the end under Kenny, when you get injections, you know, an half an hour before the game to go out and play in your heel, plantar fascia, I think it was. Yeah. And it's not easy. It's permanently on your mind. And I think he's been outstanding form. There's been question marks about him playing the holding role you think that's earmarked for Emre Can when he comes back, and I still expect that to be the case, but I think he's done fantastically well in there, and it's where when Emre Can comes back, if Jordan can play maybe a slightly different position, or whether he stays in that position.
Yeah, well Can, Grujic, they were both a number of the changes made against Derby, who did very well midweek. I just wonder, with the competition for places this weekend against Hull, what does Jurgen do? I mean, Sturridge, he's had a little bit of a knock. Maybe that's an excuse to take him out of the side and maybe bring Firmino in. Not expecting too many changes. What do you reckon?
Well, it's a difficult one because maybe in the past you could say, well, let's bring Coutinho, buff Firmino in the number 10 position and leave Sturridge up front playing Hull at home. He still may do that, but he seems to have gone more for a 4-3-3 this season and played that every game as if like it's a set formation now. Mm. That Liverpool played three central midfielders with Wijnaldum, Jordan, and just forgot who's tucked in on the right. I completely forgot.
Mane.
No, he's on the right wing. Come on, know your football now.
Right wing, Mane.
Adam Lallana being our player. Lallana, Wijnaldum being our best player. So that'll be interesting what he does. I mean, eventually, Coutinho's been our best player the last couple of years. I'd expect him to play. I know the manager loves Firmino as well, and I think he's been in great form. So you'd always feel when everyone's fit, it feels like Daniel Sturridge would be the one to miss out at times, which maybe is harsh considering how he performed against Leicester and you're playing Hull at home, similar type of game. But I think the way to get them all in is maybe to leave one of the midfield players out. But then you look at that, and that looks quite difficult because I think Lallana and Jordan Henderson maybe as a two isn't what you'd normally have as a midfield too, really. But listen, that's the manager's choice. That's what he gets paid for, and that's what it's like playing in a big club.
Yeah, good to have those options for a change and a bit of a problem for Jurgen. Right, come on. What game are you watching at the weekend?
I'm doing Man United Leicester at 12:30 kickoff, so I won't be able to get to Anfield. I'll listen to the radio on the way home, and I'll then watch Arsenal Chelsea or Chelsea Arsenal, whoever's at home, and then I've got Monday Night Football. Burnley Watford.
Who's your guest?
Sure you're watching.
Have you got along for your guest Monday? You're not allowed to say.
When's this going out?
Tomorrow.
Put it this way, I think Liverpool fans will be quite pleased.
Okay. Interesting.
I'll leave it at that.
Stevie G getting a flight over. Right, brilliant. Thank you for that, and have a good weekend. Cheers, Karen.
Cheers, lad. Cheers, boys.
This is the Five Times Podcast, hosted by Neil Mellor at Ellie's in Grigsby.
Okay, delighted to say after Jamie Carragher, we're joined by John Arnorisa here on the Five Times Podcast. Ginge, you're still making the headlines over here, even though you're not playing.
Yeah, I've noticed that, so but we'll leave it with that, don't we?
Okay, what are you up to these days?
I've been in pre-season for a month now with my new team in India, so I just got a few days. Chennai FC, so they won the league last year, so it's quite, you know, interesting to be with the champions and hopefully can retain the title.
Okay, looking at Liverpool this season, what have you made of them?
You know, they're looking strong. You can see the players are really getting to know Klopp even more, what he wants from them, and they're working as a team, fighting, running a lot, and you know, they're playing as a team, and I'm quite enjoying the last few games.
Liverpool have won 5 from the first 7 games this season. When you watched the pre-season game against Barcelona at Wembley, could you have imagined back then, even though that was an excellent performance, how well the start would be considering how tough the opposition is?
To be honest, you know, the Barcelona game, I was at the stadium, and you know, even though Barcelona didn't play as good as it could, I could see some good signs. But then again, I was expecting Liverpool to have a tough start of the season with all the opposition they played, but you know, they proved me wrong and they played really good, and they're looking strong, so you know, I'm liking what I'm seeing.
Yeah, Liverpool have been entertaining. 19 goals from 10 different players so far this season, compared to last season with just 5. Do you think that's been one of the main differences for Liverpool, the attacking play and goal scored?
Yeah, of course. And you can, you know, we have so many goal scorers, you can see they're playing as a team. You know, doesn't matter who scores the goals, who gives the assist. They're just playing as a team, want to score goals and want to win the games. And I've been quite happy with the way they're performing. And you can see it's really a team fighting spirit now in the team, and I'm loving it, and it's looking good at the moment. I'm hoping I can continue like this.
Yeah, you mentioned there about the team and the togetherness. Certainly Jurgen Klopp has brought that to Liverpool, but what do you make of his relationship so far with the fans at Anfield?
You know, I think all the fans want to see his commitment, you know, and putting the effort in and working hard and showing that they love to win, they love, they hate to lose, and they want to give everything. And as long as you give that to the fans, you know, they're going to love you. And he's doing it at the moment, and I think with a new stadium up there as well, the new stands is looking good. So I think this season can be very interesting for all the supporters and players of Liverpool Football Club.
I quite enjoy Jurgen Klopp when you're celebrating after the game, hugging all the players differently. After. I look at you, Ginger, and I think you'd be probably giving him a piggyback or something. You'd be all over him, wouldn't you?
You know, I would have loved to play under him, to be honest. You know, he's that kind of manager who shows emotions, both in a good and a bad way. But he supports his players. He always smiling. Well, that's what we've seen from the outside. I don't know what he does in the dressing room, but he always shows emotion to players and hugging them and giving high fives. And, you know, you've got to love that because then it just gives you more affection for him and want, you know, to give more for him and the team.
Yeah, I think that's important, isn't it? I mean, you look at modern-day players now and the pressures involved, you know, the scrutiny, certainly from every angle, the press, the social media, it's tough for them. And you look at Jurgen Klopp as almost a rare manager. He's given these players confidence and so forth. You'd have to say they're producing for him.
Yeah, you know, I think Klopp is, you know, he wants to give everything for his players, you know. His players is the most important thing. He cares about them both on the pitch and off the pitch. And he gives them freedom, but at the same time, he respects them. He knows what it is to be a player. And, you know, as you said, with all the social media and the press and all the pressure that comes along with it, he knows what it's like. So he accepts people being different. And I think he enjoys it as well. But the main thing is that he just loves his players. And for any player who plays in a team that's, to know when the manager does that for you, you just want to work hard for him and you want to give his best. You know, as long as they keep scoring the goals as they do, you know, it's not the biggest issue, but I would like to see Liverpool, you know, keeping more clean sheets and being strong as the defenders, you know, so hopefully we do that. But as long as they score as many goals as they're doing and they're winning the games, you know, it's not a big problem. But I think Mr. Klopp also wants to keep more clean sheets and start conceding less goals. But I think he's happy with the offensive, but I think he wants to be more strong in defenders.
Can't get you on without asking you about the left full-back position. It was a position that many thought we should have filled in the transfer window. Did you get in touch with Jurgen Klopp, so you're available before you signed for that Indian side?
I tried on Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat to try to get a hold of him, but he never responded, so, you know, it was hard. No, to be honest, I think I was expecting to sign a player at left-back, but then again, Milner's done a good job there, but he's still a right-footed player. And more like a winger, but he's doing a good job at the moment. Moreno is, I don't know, he's looking out of confidence for a while now, and I think he gets a lot of pressure from the outside as well. So hopefully he can turn around and come back as good as we want him to be. But he's not looking good for him at the moment when, you know, where you have a right-footed winger playing in your position.
When you said he's not looking good at the moment, I thought you mentioned about his new hairstyle, cutting his ponytail off, and you're thinking, fair enough, get rid of that, and then...
I meant all of it, you know, the haircut, and I'm just joking, you know, I've done some silly... I had some silly haircuts myself during the year, so, you know, I'm not going to start to complain about other players, but, you know, I just hope that Moreno gets his confidence back, because he is a good player, he is a left-footed, offensive left-back, but he's been caught out of position too many times in big games, and it's been costing the team and let them concede goals. And you can't do it at the highest level time and time again. So hopefully, being on the bench and having this pressure from Milner will give him the boost to work even harder and improve. But he needs to step it up at the moment.
Unusual, though, to see a right-footed player playing at left full-back. We saw John Flanagan play that position when Liverpool came close to winning the league. We spoke to Cara a little bit earlier, and he mentioned he did so well in that left full-back position. You know, perhaps looking at James Milner, he's an intelligent player. Trust him out there on the pitch. And, you know, how well do you think he has done, even though he's left-footed playing in that left full-back position?
No, you said, you know, Milner's a very intelligent player. You know, he knows, he's learning quickly. He knows he's good in positioning. And even though he has an okay left foot, you know, he, the most important thing is he's always in good position. And he's a tackler. He runs a lot. He's fighting for his team. That's the most important thing. And like you said, Cara played, you know, left back with his right foot, even though his left foot was also good. But then again, when I came, he had to move over because I was left footed and better at that position. I'm just joking, Cara. Sorry. So Milner's done well. And, you know, Klopp trusts him. The fans trust him. And the players trust him. And obviously, he has the confidence to play there himself. So I think Milner can keep playing that for the whole season if something doesn't happen with injuries and his form is dipping.
Well, interesting, I was going to ask you that. I was going to say, is Milner the main man all season, or anyway back for Moreno, do you think, or is it Milner's until he gets injured?
No, I think Moreno has a, you know, he will be fighting. You know, even you know, looking at Klopp didn't buy a left back to trust him, and that proves that he's trusting Milner and Moreno, because those are the two left backs at the moment. So I think Klopp trusts Moreno to come back to his best form and learn and improve. So, but at the moment, Milner is playing well. He's not injured. He's fit. So he will be playing if he keeps going like this. But then again, many games coming up, could be injured, suspensions, and then Moreno needs to be ready. And I think he will be.
John, still adored by so many Liverpool fans. Many will be interested to know.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Signed that contract with the Indian side. What is next for you? Is it a short-term contract then?
Well, the season only lasts to December, so I have a mission now. I'm going to go to India, play hopefully 17 games there, and I'm going to change my body completely. And so I'm doing some extra training. I'm going to change my body and hopefully get into tip-top shape, even better than I've always been before. And when January comes, you never know. I'm just going to stay fit and hopefully play well in India again and see what happens. But I got that passion back to work hard, and I'm keen on keep playing again.
Well, we'll look forward to seeing some of those left foot rockets going in, Ginger. We wish you all the best. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
To see a legend near you, check out the events page on our website, 5times.co.uk.
Okay, another fantastic guest joining us on the 5times podcast. Delighted to say Ray Houghton is joining us. Hello, Ray.
How you doing, boys?
Very good. First of all, let's get started. What have you made of Liverpool this season?
I think they've been decent. I've seen a couple of games. I was at the Emirates when they beat Arsenal 4-3. And spells were brilliant going forward, absolutely superb. Yeah, I think with Liverpool this season, what we're going to be saying more often than not is if Liverpool defend well, they'll get results. Why? Because they'll create chances. You know, they've got game changers, match winners, if you like, in the side. But I think the team, not just defensively, but I think all over the park, we have to make sure that we're difficult to play against. And if we do that, it could be a very, very good season.
What do you think the big difference has been? I mean, last season it seemed to be too many draws, too many points thrown away last season, whereas this season it seems a lot better.
Well, I was just saying at the moment, Neil, and we're only 5 league games in, so I'm going to reserve a little bit of judgment on that. I think what we have to do is really look at the next 10 league games. I was looking through the fixtures earlier, and Liverpool, apart from the game against Manchester United, have got games where you're probably thinking to yourself, if you're going to be a team challenging not only for the top four, but to try and win the title this season, there's a lot of big matches coming up that you should win. You know, I'm just looking at Hull coming up, then we've got West Brom, there's Crystal Palace, I've seen Swansea, and not being disrespectful to these sides, but if you're going to be a top team, these are the sides you have to beat. And, you know, we have to take into account what Manchester City are doing at the moment. You know, 5 straight wins, they're 5 points ahead of Liverpool at the moment. So to keep pace with them, you have to make sure that you're doing your job and you're winning matches. And the great thing for Liverpool, in many respects, I know it'll hurt Liverpool fans that they're not in Europe, but that could be a godsend, because all of a sudden you can get your concentration right, you can get the rest right, you can get your preparation right for these important games that they've got coming up. So your next few weeks, or the next 10 games, will really tell us how good Liverpool are and if they're going to be a real threat to winning the title.
Yeah, there certainly seems to be a lot of freshness about the side at the moment. I mean, looking at the goals, 10 different players have scored. There's been 19 goals scored this season. How important is it that the contribution isn't just from the front players, but from all over the pitch?
Well, usually important. You know, if you're going to win the league, and if you're going to be a real team to be feared, then you're going to have to look to score from all different positions. You know, I'm sure the manager, as we used to do, you know, they used to put numbers on it. You know, the back four will be looking for 15 goals, 20 goals this season from you. You know, when you go up there for set plays, make sure you attack the ball. Same with midfielders. Not only can you score goals, but how many are you going to assist with as well? And, you know, the strikers will take care of themselves as long as you're creating chances for them. And that's what Liverpool look like they're going to do. But they've got hungry players. That's one of the things I've noticed about, you know, there's a determination about them, a belief about them. I think also there's a depth to them, maybe much more so this season than last. I think, you know, there is certainly competition for places. And it's all over the park, from the goalkeeper right up to the strikers. You know, we've got virtually two players for every position. And it's like for like. It's not as if, you know, if you lose two or three players, you're thinking, oh, we might be in trouble because the depth isn't there and the other players aren't good enough to play out. And, you know, I think Jürgen's obviously got the players that he wanted in. He's been working well with them. He's got into their mindset what's required from them as players. He knows what he wants as a manager. And the players are showing it so far. You know, the only blip Liverpool have had was Burnley, where, I mean, you couldn't believe that, 81% possession. You have all them chances, all them shots that go, but you don't convert any of them, and you end up losing the match. But apart from that, you know, it's been very good. You know, great result against Chelsea, that was absolutely huge. Coming down to Tottenham, when Tottenham were on form and getting a draw there, and it could easily have been all 3 points. I mean, a lot of good signs, but I think now the lads are playing with momentum, confidence, real belief, and also a knowledge of what the manager wants from them.
Yeah, and you mentioned the depth there and the players coming in. Seven changes were made in a potentially really tough game against Derby. Whilst they're not going well in the Championship, it was a cup tie. The fans were certainly up for it. But we absolutely demolished them 3-0, and it was a comfortable victory. Seven changes. You know, the feel-good factor is certainly there at Liverpool at the moment.
Well, the thing is, Neil, you know, when you're out of the team, you want to get into it. So the best way to do that is to show the manager what you can do when you get your chance, you know, and that's what's happening. You know, the manager will have in mind a core amount of players that you'll want to play in the big games, but also he knows that at some stage he's going to have to freshen things up. He's going to have to give people their opportunity. He wants to keep them, you know, on their toes and ready, and that seems to be the case at the moment. You know, the lads are, I'm sure, enjoying training, enjoying playing, just can't wait for the next match to come up. And it all starts again against Hull City. You know, they've picked up some good points against good sides, but where you're really tested is against the teams that might be in mid-table or at the bottom of the league, who will be fighting and scrapping for every point in the season, and you have to be better than them. So this is where Liverpool are going to, you know, make sure that they're really focused in the upcoming fixtures that they've got.
It's been a great week. You mentioned the result against Chelsea, the result against Derby as well in the League Cup. It's quite refreshing to hear Jurgen Klopp saying he wants to win the League Cup. Quite unusual perhaps for some of the top managers to come out and say that. How refreshing for you was that he did?
Yeah. I mean, it's more refreshing when he came to the club and says he wants to win the Premier League within 4 years. That was it for me, because we've been waiting far too long. You know, as Liverpool fans and ex-players, there's an expectation. You know, they've done it for so many years. Back in the 80s, and the fans want to see their back up, they're beaten, and hopefully that's what Jürgen can bring. And it's not just about, you know, the league, obviously. I mean, he had a really good run in the League Cup last season, losing to Manchester City in the final, the Europa League final, likewise. So, you know, he's been there, he's a winner. Have a look at his career, wherever he's been, you know, he knows what it takes, and he puts demands on his players. And I think with no European football, Liverpool have got every right to attack the cup competitions with the League Cup and the FA Cup and give it their best, you know, their best chance to try and win it. I mean, that's where the fans want to be. They want to compete and they want trophies. He wants trophies, and the players want trophies, and, you know, they don't know what you're going to do. That's by winning matches.
Yeah, one of those changes from in the Derby game was Marco Grujic, who I thought was absolutely outstanding. Still a very young man, and Jürgen Klopp was speaking very highly about him after the game. What about you? What have you made of his arrival?
Yeah, I've seen one of his pre-season friendlies against Fleetwood, and I was impressed by him. I mean, he's a man mountain of a player, isn't he? He's absolutely huge. Yeah, I mean, he's fairly feisty. You know, I like that about him. He puts his foot in. He's not afraid to go into areas where he might get hurt. You know, I'm talking about in the 18-yard box. He wants to get in there. He wants to score goals. He's a decent finisher. I think the more games he plays, the better he'll become. You know, so I'm not surprised that he's settled in. And sometimes it can take you a little while. You know, some players settle in much quicker than others. Look at Mane and how quickly he's settled at Liverpool. He's been absolutely sensational. I think Grujic has done well, and I think he'll do better as the season goes on, because you never know with injuries, suspensions, one thing and another. That's when you have to utilise your squad as best you can. And I think he'll be a player, maybe even the second half of the season, when required, to come on, and he'll do some sterling work for the club.
Yeah, well, a midfielder who is enjoying this season, Jordan Henderson, scored an absolute screamer down at Stamford Bridge. Mm. He's contributed an awful lot already this season. 324 passes he's completed this season. That is more than any other Premier League player. 67% of them have been forward. What have you made of him this season?
Yeah, I mean, I think Jordan got it was a bit hasty with people's judgment of him last season, because you've got to remember, he picked up so many injuries. I don't think he had a real run where you would turn around and say, yeah, that's the real Jordan Henderson. You know, I think he was playing injured. He wasn't happy with that. The manager wasn't that, but maybe at some stage he was forced to play him and maybe came back a bit early when he wasn't quite right. But it seems that he's had a good pre-season. He's got his head down. He's the captain of Liverpool. He knows what's expected of him and he has to perform to a level. You know, you just can't get your position just because you were the captain. You have to be out there performing, and I think that's what he's doing. Now we're seeing the Jordan Henderson that we've seen two seasons ago when he was scoring plenty of goals, assisting in goals, you know, and being a really solid performer and a consistent performer game in, game out, and just hope and pray that he keeps fit, you know, because that's the thing with Jordan. He's one of them lads, he's a competitive lad, so there's going to be occasions where he's going to pick up injuries, but you're just hoping that's not going to be the case for a wee while now, that he's going to be in there settling in with the new lads that have come in all over the park, and he's getting used to their game, they're getting used to his game, and I'm sure everything will, you know, work out well. But it was a massive goal against Chelsea. I mean, it's a superb goal, great finishing. He just showed what a character he is, and I think the way that the players responded to him when he scored was tremendous.
A Premier League midfielder not getting much game time is Yaya Toure at Manchester City. I just wonder what you thought about him allowing his agent to interfere the way he is, creating all these headlines at the moment.
Well, nothing surprises me in football today, you know, it really doesn't. You know, that's just one of the unfortunate things where, you know, players have got a lot more power today than they ever had. You know, when they're not happy, you know, they'll tell the manager. I mean, I've heard a lot of stories of players coming out and saying, you know, when the managers are going, well, I won't play Saturday or I won't play Sunday. You know, it's just like I'm not bothered attitude. I'm not saying that about Yaya. I'm just talking about what I've heard with other players. Mm. But Yaya Toure's been a fantastic player for Manchester City. He's been well compensated for his time that he's earned, the amount of money that he's earned. But, you know, the managers come in, and a bit like Joe Hart, he's made a decision. That's a manager's job. You know, he has to affect his team. He has to have a plan in mind where he sees the club going, and he's going to make big decisions. And unfortunately, there's going to be some players who are not going to be happy. And at the moment, it's Yaya Toure and his agent. But it's unfortunate. But I've seen it happen at other clubs. You know, there's been problems at Swansea, isn't there? With a couple of players, you know, Key, who wasn't happy being brought off. I think Neil Taylor, likewise, wasn't happy being brought off. But that's the manager's job. He has to make big decisions in games that's going to affect the match and get the performance that he needs and the role that he needs.
Right, fantastic. Let's finish with Hull then. What are you expecting ahead of this one?
Well, Hull will be difficult, you know, because they've had a decent start to the season. Maybe they're playing on a bit of hype at the moment. You know, obviously there's a lot of problems behind the scenes that we are not privy to, but we sort of know that there's some things going on that aren't quite right. They'll come and have a go at Liverpool, there's no doubt, but I think Liverpool would just be far too strong. As long as they don't go into the game thinking this is going to be easy. You know, you have to respect your opposition, who you're playing against, and then go out and match their energy, match their commitment and their attitude. And then Liverpool's better ability will come out. There's no doubt Liverpool have got much more match winners than Hull City. And this is the test. You know, it's one thing beating Chelsea and then you get through midweek in the League Cup against Derby. But you have to back it up. And you back it up with a good, strong performance against Hull. Now, you don't have to win it 4-5-0. You're not putting down any markers that way. Look at us, we're a great team, we're going to score those goals. What we have to do is affect the game, make sure that we're nice and disciplined defensively, responsible in certain areas of the field, and then in that final third, when we've had a lot of possession of the ball, make sure that we're getting enough shots at goal and create enough chances to score the goals that are going to win the game. I think it will be, a difficult game, but one I fully expect Liverpool to win.
Let's hope so. Ray, many thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, Neil.
Coming soon to a city near you, the Liverpool Legends. For more information and ticket prices, check out our websites, fivetimes.co.uk.
Okay, we're now joined on the Five Times podcast by someone who knows all there is to know about bringing young talent through, a man who's contributed so much in helping develop players at Liverpool, my former youth coach, Hugh McCauley. H, great to have you on.
Thanks, Neil. Hope you're well. Are you well?
Yeah, all good. Thanks for joining us. A great week for the Academy to see another graduate make his first team debut. Ovie Ejaria did that in the League Cup at Derby. How good for the Academy is that?
It's fantastic for the academy, isn't it? Every time a young player makes his debut for the first team, it's a real feather in the cap for everybody who works at the academy, from the coaches right down, obviously the academy director, all his coaches, his staff that work there. Everybody gets a boost. That's a bonus, isn't it? Every time someone from the academy puts on that red shirt and steps over the line for a proper game. And Ovie did that the other night, and everybody will be absolutely thrilled for him. I will myself, because he's made excellent progress and deserved that opportunity.
As a youth coach yourself, many years at Liverpool, you've seen so many breakthrough into the first team. How proud a moment was that for you when you know all the hard work that's been gone on the training ground, and then that's what you want to see them doing, progressing through and making that first team debut. So as a coach, how proud is that for you?
Yeah, it is, and it's the icing on the cake, if you like, for the coach, because you're working that as you would. They're not overpaid coaches, you don't earn tremendous salaries, if you like. We all love, obviously, everybody has to earn their money. But at the end of the day, the real bonus for the coaches is seeing one of the lads make it all the way after that long, hard slog, years and years of coaching, of hoping that you're going to get a lad that's going to play in the first team. And when it happens, it really is the icing on the cake, and it's the rewards for the coaches, for the scout who brought him in, for everybody, and that's what you live for as a coach.
Yeah, well, the academy, the 23s, it's changed, the 23s this season. Battered Leicester 4-0, 3 up against Spurs inside 8 minutes, won the game eventually 6-2. How bright are things, do you think, at the academy at the moment?
Well, they're looking very good, and obviously that's down to the ability of the players, the great work that the coaches are doing with them at the moment. They've got a fantastic programme there. There's a most important thing for me, has shown that he's willing to play these lads if they show that real potential, and he'll give them a game. He'll watch them closely in training. He'll bring them down. A lot of them train at Melwood on a regular occasion. So he's well in touch with what he needs to do with part of the development of those young players. And I think we're starting to see the dividend and the real bonus of that integration between the academy and the first team people at Melwood, and everybody is hands-on, everybody's made a valid and excellent contribution, and long may it continue. The challenge, of course, is to get somebody playing in our first team regularly. I know Kev Stewart's part of that squad now, and he's come on and played a couple of little cameos, and Edgardi has now made a debut. So you want that. You don't want that to continue. You want them to get more playing time in future. And that's what we all want to see. Lads coming through from the academy, challenging basically international players for places in Liverpool's first team.
One of those players who was exceptional at Spurs the other night was Ben Woodburn. He's only 16. He's a young talent. Really like him. You know, how do you, as a coach, help such a young talent to stay focused, avoiding the distractions and keep improving?
Well, I think you keep him on the straight and narrow. You talk to him. Sometimes, through my experience, the talking doesn't have to be complimentary all the time, although that needs to be endorsed. Also, they also need to be told the home truths. You've got to be grounded.
I can vouch for that, H.
Yeah, I know. Because as a coach, you tell it the way it is. And unfortunately, any player, and particularly the ones who you rate highly above some of the others, have to be told. And that's part of the game, because a coach can tell you, and 50,000 people can tell you, and you need to be ready for that, and you need to go through those little barriers, if you like, which I went through, funny enough, as a young player at Liverpool, as an apprentice, with the likes of Ronnie Moran and these type of people. Always told you the way it was, always kept you grounded. Yes, they've got ability and they've got talent. They always made sure your attitude was correct and kept you focused on what you had to do in the game. I like Ben Woodburn because he showed me last season against Manchester United under 18 level. That was one of his first games, and he did very, very well in that game. The extended Youth Cup run last year helped him tremendously. And even likes of Trent Alexander-Arnold to come on and do well at that level. Consequently, they've gone on, they've played pre-season games at first team level and made a good impression, and now are both doing well at 23 level as youngsters, and two players who can still play in the youth team.
I don't know if that's one of them ringing you in the background, but one of those players is Trent Alexander-Arnold. He's training full-time at Melwood. You know, you've seen that progression from academy to the first team level of training. How beneficial is that for these young players?
It's very beneficial. They need to train with the first team. In the early days, in the early days when we used to work at Marwood as a full group with the first team, we often send players over very quickly if the manager wanted a player. In those days, we were yards away and the young players got a chance to go and join the first team straight away. And that's the way it was. And we knew the players inside out in those days, every player. Nowadays, because there is that 4 mile difference in the locations, it's a programme that's worked out. It's a regular programme of players going to Marwood. So the coaches at Marwood know all the academy players and work with them on a regular basis, and that's the way it should be. They've got to bridge that gap with the travel, and they do it very well now with the program that they have, and that development program is in place with the academy coaches and the coaches at Mould, which is fine, and they'll get real good experience being involved at that level with those players for sure.
It's only right to finish with the mini derby. It comes around this weekend, under-18s, Liverpool v Everton. Used to really enjoy playing it, not so much hearing your voice on the touchline, but how important do you think it is for a young player's development to see this fixture? Because a couple of years ago, they didn't even play this fixture, but now it's great that, you know, it comes around again.
Yeah, these are the games that you compare your players with. It's a local derby. It's different from any other game. They're all Manchester United, Manchester City are different games. They're big games, but Liverpool, Everton is a totally different game. And any level where Liverpool and Everton are involved, it may sound like another game, but it really is a little bit more to it, because you have the bragging rights everybody knows the Everton players, everybody will know the Liverpool players, and there's a little bit more bite to it. The important thing, of course, is that you settle down very quickly and you play your football and you compete in the right way, and you work your socks off, and hopefully on the day you can get the chances to score goals and defend very, very well, which is needed in derby games, because they do get a little bit competitive as well. And that's all part of your ability to be able to manage games at that level. And from my experience, and you'll know yourself, having played in those games, you know the ones who can manage it, hopefully, and who can then move on to the next level. If you can manage that sort of game regularly and you can do well and influence the game at that level, then there's a fair chance you're going to do quite well at professional level too.
H, absolutely love hearing from you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Really enjoyed it.
We will speak soon. Let's hope we turn them over in the mini derby.
Yeah, look forward to it.
H, brilliant. Thanks. Thank you.
This is the Five Times Podcast, the voice of the ex-Liverpool players.
Okay, I'm delighted to welcome a man I actually played with for a brief spell at Preston North End a few years back, Ian Ashby, very highly regarded among the Hull City supporters after a huge success he had there. Ash, great to have you on the Five Times Podcast. How are you?
Hi, mate. How you doing?
Yeah, good. Good to hear from you. Let's talk about Hull then. Not great preparation for the season. Losing manager Steve Bruce just before the season kicked off. How would you assess the start Hull have made?
You know, losing Steve Bruce, I was worried what would happen to the club, what would happen to the playing side of it. Behind the scenes has been a mess for 18 months, in my opinion, living locally with the name change and season passes changing, etc. So I was slightly concerned, but, you know, he left and they've made a great start under Mike Phelan, and then they seem to be rallying around. You know, the lads coming to the shop where I'm based in the middle of Hull and have a coffee, have a chat, have a look at a couple of watches, and they're very, you know, they're very happy with the way things are going. And, you know, they only had 13 fresh legs at the start of the season, so no one can grumble with the start they've made, mate.
Must be getting paid well then, coming to see you for them watches.
Yeah, they are, mate. Yeah, to be fair.
what was amazing was obviously just promoted from the Championship to the Premier League, unbeaten away this season. Made 8 changes against Stoke the other night in the Cup, and still enough to progress through, grinding out a result there. Is that what's needed at Anfield this weekend to try and grind out a performance?
I think personally they're going to need a little bit more than that, mate, at Anfield. It's a completely different kettle of fish going somewhere like Anfield and just grinding results. So you're going to need a little bit of quality. I commentated for TalkSport against on the Arsenal game last week, mate, and they did start really, really bright. So they've got it within the ranks. You know, they've added a few players as well that they scored last night, which is always going to help confidence within the squad. But I just think Liverpool's a different kettle of fish than going to Stoke, mate. And in a cup, I think a league game, it's going to be a difficult task to go there. But, you know, the pressure's off them away from home. I think they're probably relaxed a bit more. Mike Feeden's got them working extremely hard for each other. And there's a little bit of quality in the side as well. So you never know. It's going to be a tough task, mate, but you just never know on the day.
You mentioned there Mike Phelan. He's finally been offered the manager's job. What have the fans made of that?
Yeah, I think everyone's really, really happy, mate. He's served his apprenticeship, if you like, with good managers over the years. And I think it's right and fitting that he gets the opportunity. He started really well. The lads are working extremely hard. And from inside the camp, they obviously want him to have the job.
Finally, to finish that off with, then, Ash, what are you expecting from Hull's trip to Anfield this weekend?
Listen, I'm expecting a tough game. We're going to one of the, in my opinion, one of the top five clubs in the country. You know, the pressure's off Hull. They're away from home.
To hear previous podcasts, check out and rate our page on iTunes. Thanks for listening.
You know, if they can frustrate Liverpool, get the crowd going slightly, you know, the last kind of 25 minutes, they might just get a corner or a free kick and just nick something like they have been doing of late, to be fair. So it'd be an interesting one, mate, but very difficult for us to go there and get a result.
Well, we'll be hoping it won't be a frustrating.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah. Performance from a Liverpool point of view, but thanks for joining us. We wish you all the best, but not on Saturday. Great to have you on, Ash.